Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Good. Right here on the air.
I love it.
This is a place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And brains, we've got Connie Sands. Okay. She lives here in San Diego with me, you know, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And we're always talking about money and the relationship with money and mentally, but you need to be strategic with money. And that's kind of where I want to kind of drive this conversation, because I went back and looked at some of your videos, and you've had some of the similar experiences I have, where they say they're giving you the golden handshake and they're really giving you the middle finger.
Absolutely. Have I lived through that? Yeah.
You know, and I have been downsized, and I'm going to tell you, brains, I'll say it publicly, I have never been 100% into an organization, because I know that it is only a matter of time that I either leave or they let me go, or the situation changes, they restructure, they outsource. People never plan for that. It used to be the time of entitlement where you thought that you would be guaranteed 20 years with a company, get that pension, get those benefits. But if you are with a company 5 years now, according to the Wall Street Journal, you're really running the race. Mm-hmm. There's no initial offering, stock options, you know, your medical benefits are being sliced and diced. Connie, we're going to talk about all that and more. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Tell my brains who you are and how you show up in the world, baby.
Well, I am Connie Sands. I'm a wise older woman.
That's right.
And, you know, I've been around the block, you know, 70 or 80 times, and been all over the place. I come from San Jose, California, now known as, it was known as San Jose then, it's now Silicon Valley. So I have worked most of my life in high tech. You know, started off as an assembler and then went into secretarial administration and ended my 27 years, because I was one of the lucky ones. I got to work for 27 years for a high-tech company, and the last 7 years were spent in management. And but all through those years, I can honestly say, as I look back on it, that we were so underpaid. All the women managers were so underpaid. And we have to look at that, because, you know, one day you're going to want to retire. And if you're retiring on wages that are below, you know, what a man's are, you're going to be retiring in a lot less comfortable position than. And now, as you said, there's not even any retirement. Everything has been slashed. After that, I worked for different companies in HR as a generalist. I worked as a technical recruiter. And again, men were being offered. I was making offers to males that were, you know, $10,000 sign-on bonuses. Women were getting that, you know. And, you know, I was, and these men were not even here. Some of them were in India. We were calling India. We were calling, you know, trying to wine and dine, you know, these guys. And I thought, where are the women who are being wined and dined? You know, one of the things that really makes me is that there's no democratization of pay for women.
We have democratization. I got to write, you know, I keep a list of big $25 words, and that's enough.
Yeah. The democratization of pay for women. It does not exist anywhere, but especially.
Well, you know what? But I'm a chime in right here. It's because women have this relationship with money I don't understand, okay? I've always had an abundance relationship and philosophy and mindset when it comes to money, because money is nothing but energy. It's only the value that you put on it. And women do not demand. Oh, you demand what's going on in the household. You demand he take out the trash. You demand that he calls you, or this, that, and the other. But you don't demand what you are worth in the workplace. And if I am sitting and negotiating across the table from another woman and I feel slighted, oh, it's going to be on and popping, you know?
Well, yeah, that's true. And I think that, but one of the things that I think that drives that kind of thinking is that women don't think about money. I mean, I came from a place where, you know, my father always had a job. My mother worked during the summers. Money was always there. I didn't ever think I was not going to have a house to live in or anything, mm-hmm. but there was no training from my parents. My parents did not share their money. They fought over money and all those things that go on behind the scenes in a house where a child is growing up, especially a female child, mm-hmm. all those things play into it so that, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to talk about money. Money will get me in trouble if I talk about it. What is negotiation? What if you're a first time, you know, out of high school or in your 20s or whatever, and you're going to go to your first job? What is negotiation? Did anybody teach you about that? You know, about, hey, you know, I want more, you know, I've already done my research.
Well, but you know what, we are in 2021.
Yep.
Okay. We are in, you know, headed towards the 22nd century and we're still tap dancing. And you know, my mother always told me, God blesses the child that's got his own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, growing up, my mother made money seem like it grew on trees. I was the only child. You know, I had two much older brothers. But mm-hmm. we wouldn't buy one pair of shoes. We'd buy three pairs of shoes. And every holiday, there was this. And it was that. My friends, you know, really envied me and disliked me because what I was afforded, the luxuries. But along those same lines, they don't understand. In my household, I was taught financial literacy. Uh-huh. I was taught international currency. I was taught about bullion and fine arts and those type of things. It starts at home.
It starts at home. And one of the things that's, you know, again, you get back to the socialization of women and you don't know what spectrum they are on, what if they were really empowered like you were, or, you know, I grew up in a poor Mexican family, the oldest of six kids, and my parents struggled. You know, money didn't just grow on trees. They were both savers, but they didn't tell us about the secrets of saving, you know? So I was really a blank page. It took me a long time to master my money and the relationship that I had to it. And I think I'm not alone, you know, because then I got to,
not alone.
I'm not alone in that. And then one of the things that we also do as part of our socialization as women is that we're taught, and, you know, not you necessarily, but I know that in the community that I was in, women always put everybody else first, you know, so my partner needs the money, my children, even if their children are 40 and 50, you know, the children have to have the money, and they put themselves way in the back and don't save, don't plan. 50% of marriages are going to end in divorce. What is your backup plan? I know it's not sexy. And it's not.
I know. It's like, you know what? And dependent upon him, there's two things that really are the deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's the control. Because if the love is gone and the sex is gone and they're not interested, okay, now I want to control you or now I want to destroy you.
Yeah.
Well, with the money.
With the money.
And if you have your own money, you can just split it down the middle and go on about your way. But no, you're going to fight to the bitter end. And the only one that really comes up is the attorney.
Absolutely. And that brings up another thing, you know, along the lines of, I knew a lady that I met for 5 minutes. I was on a van going from the airport to a hotel to a business conference. And I met her and I said, you know, I talk about women and the singleness factor. I said, you know, because the first divorce is going to be 50% of those are going to end in divorce, you know, and then you have to walk away and start all over again. And I said, but then women, you know, we have been socialized that we must be married. So, you know, you get married the second time, but you don't talk to the person. People move in with other people. Don't talk about the money, who's going to pay what. What is the domestic, you know, split up of everything. So the second marriage is about 60% of those end in divorce. And then you start over again. Half of the money goes out the door. Third time, because a lot of women are going to insist. I say live in sin. Live in sin. Why are you going to?
Wait. I'm glad you brought that up, because there was a question posted on Facebook by one of my friends.
Uh-huh.
And they said that a guy that made about $55,000 a year, mm-hmm. asked his girlfriend to move in with him. She made $35,000 a year, and he asked her to pay half the rent. Okay, well, look, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that because he asked his girlfriend. He didn't ask his wife.
Yeah.
And I don't care what, you know, semantics or how you guys want to lay it out. I've been a wife for 37 years, and it's a different role model.
Well, it is.
It's a different business model. Yes. And so, you know, if I'm going in on half, I've got some say-so. I've got some flexibility. I can move my furniture in. I can have company. I can do it. I'm evenly yoked.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, when you're married and you ask me to pay half the rent, I'm kind of looking at you with a side eye because you asked me to enter into your world that you would honor and you would cherish me and that you would take care of me because you've asked this. Yeah, I'm old school and traditional with that. What's your feelings on the shacking move?
Oh, you know what? Moving in with somebody sounds so romantic. I mean, again, it sounds so romantic. The passion, you know, the sex, all of that. Until you move in together, then all of a sudden mm-hmm. the dynamics change, and
Changes.
You know, and you do not have a contract to cover all that.
No.
You know, marriage is the contract. I don't care how, you know, romantic and all that kind of
right.
stuff. Marriage is the contract to protect both parties, money-wise and all the goods and chattels. But when you are involved in a moving in, shacking up with somebody kind of thing, you have no protection. And if you mingle your money with them, you lost. It's mm-hmm. like Judge Judy says, that comes under the category of too bad, you know.
Exactly. You know?
Because then if you split, and it's likely that you will split, you know, you can't go back.
Right, there's no commitment. There's nothing there to lock you in to make you want to work it out and stay.
And there's no recourse. There's no financial recourse. There's no legal recourse because, you know, there are no laws in place to protect people who live together. I mean, it just doesn't exist. So, you know, why would you, if you're going to look at a third marriage, this lady that I was talking about had lost her business the first time with the marriage. She had her own yoga studio. She got married again and she goes, I thought that the prenup would protect me on the second marriage. Mm. She lost everything again. And she goes, oh my God, when I said about the third marriage, 70 plus of the third marriages end in divorce. She says, oh my God. I said, what? She says, I'm engaged to be married again.
Wow.
And then she avoided me the whole rest of the time at that conference. I said, well, let's talk again. You know, she didn't want to talk about it again.
She didn't want to face it.
She did not want to face the hard-ass reality of, hey, we have to be able to have the guts and the badass courage to face our money. Money is an energy, but it's also like a jealous lover. If you don't pay attention and give it and show it the love and attention and communicate with it and really show it that you give a damn about it, it's going to say, you know something? April over there is paying attention to me. I think I'm going to go over there and be with her for a while.
Right. And you know what? And deviating, you know, right. deviating and hiding. And, you know, I have never snuck in any shoes. I bring the shoes in and tell them, baby, look what I went and bought.
Uh-huh.
You know, I went to Tiffany's the other day and bought myself something. I am not contingent upon outside influences, even if that is my spouse.
Yeah.
And so
there has to be that open channel of communication. Right. And one of the things that money is so emotionally, you know, charged, that many people, they'd rather tell you about their sex life than about their money.
And about their money, girl. They don't want to talk about that money.
No,
it's a shame. And if they don't have it, you know, like I'll deal with people in business. You know, don't waste my time. If you can't afford it, there's no shame in that. Everybody's in a position where they can't afford it. I will accept a no. But don't be shucking and jiving and, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. Just say no and go on about your business. that lets me know that you have a level of integrity. But when you lie and, you know, you say, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, I don't even want to deal with you because your integrity's gone out the window. And it's all based upon that shame and that prestige and that posturing and pontificating. And, you know, it was funny when it the day of the handbags. Oh, honey, I had every designer handbag there was. And my mother said, you sitting up there with a $5,000 handbag and you don't have $50 in it.
Yeah.
And I was wow.
We get into the Kardashian thing. You know, we are trained. We are trained in the way that we look at money and look at how we're going to posture about money. We, you know, I never watched the Kardashians, but I know.
And I don't want to talk bad about them because I know them. And you know what? They are really, they got a lot of money and they got a lot of issues, but they're really cool people.
You know, and I'm not putting them down. What I'm saying is that perception of the people watching them is that must go and spend this money and that money and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, no, you're not the Kardashian. They've got the money. They can do this.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something about this Hollywood stuff. A lot of that stuff is pro bono. A lot of that stuff is, you know, let me floss, you know, let me dress you, let me do this, let me do that to entice other people to spend their money. It's like this tennis shoe craze. Right. $200, $300, $400, $500 for designer tennis shoes and to collect them.
Yeah, it's really, again, that perception from the public that they have to do these things. And that's a training. It's a socialization. It's a training, not only of pretending that you are what you are not, but also it's an envy. You know, it's an envy kind of thing where, we're watching and we're envying these people instead of saying, let me look at my own life. What have I got? You know, what can I be grateful for? And how can I build my wealth based on who I am and what I have got? And, you know, and build from there. You can do this. You know, it's doable. It's just that you've got to get focused. You've got to get strategic. You've got to get organized. You know,
a lot of times people, they put on these airs, but real people with real money, they don't talk about it.
Exactly.
Look at Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is still living in the same 3-bedroom house he's always lived in.
Yes, but he's got cash. He's got cash up the kazoo.
But people don't know how to make money work for them. Yes. They're letting the money pimp them. You're going to go to a job 40, 50, 55, 60 hours a week. Sometimes you work at 2 jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And you're still scratching shit with the chickens because you don't have no money. You've never put any money in the 401k. You've never invested in the stock plan. You've never understood financial literacy. You spend beyond your means. You got 5 or 6 credit cards. When your bills come, you don't even want to look at them. You owe the IRS. Oh, yes, I got a laundry list for you, baby. And that's not realistic. You will never get over the hump until you come to grips with really what you want. Sit down and write it down. Write a wish list.
You know,
this is what I want.
Yeah, one of the biggest things about strategizing is that you have to know what it is that you want so that you can ask for it. I mean, how are you going to know? You're circling around. You're circling around the airplane, around the airport, and never landing. You know, you're circling around and never asking for what you want. What do you really want out of this life? What do you want your money to do for you? Right. And how do you want to live? You know, do you want to be comfortable? Do you want to know that no matter what happens, you're going to land softly because you have a nice cash stash waiting for you? You've got investments that are taking care of you and will take care of you for a long time. And that's why I think, you know, I look at, you know, I have a friend who's an HR. I got a lot of HR experience. And so I had a director friend of HR, and she said, I don't understand it, Connie. She said, you know, our company provides a 30% match for every dollar that goes into the 401k. And she goes, all these women, 40s and 50s, she goes, they're not exactly young, 40s and 50s, and none of them participate in the plan. And she goes, they're leaving thousands of dollars on the table. That's what I mean. You've got to be aware. First of all, maybe you're not going to last more than 5 years at a company, but you've got to make sure you know every benefit coming to you and take every single bit of it. Do not leave any money on the table.
And that's a part of your package. People don't understand how to negotiate their package. They're just looking at, oh, okay, well, they're going to pay me $20 an hour. But you fail to realize your vacation, your medical, your things increase your package. And if you take advantage of these things, it reduces your taxable liability.
Exactly.
Sit there in the interview and ask these questions. That is what the HR generalist or specialist is there for. But also, you know what, Connie, I want to flip it, because money can also, it can block a lot of things. See, I got some real rich friends. I mean, so I don't need a yacht. I go on airs. Okay. Sometimes you just need access. Okay. And a conversation. If you were looking to start a business, when I strategically plan, I plan backwards. I already see the outcome. Then I look at my resources. Then the money is going to fall right in line, because the machine is already churning. It's already working. So give us some of your strategies and some of your tips for, you know, people that are just really in that quandary right now, because COVID really jacked a lot of people up in the restaurant industry, hospitality industry, you know, they, or even in the medical industry. They made a lot of money, but they're not able to spend it. What do you say to those people?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things, again, because you have to be aware, one of the things that happened with COVID that made it so clear to us as a society is that we thought everything was never going to change. Well, change was happening right in front of us. We were not aware of all of the possibilities of the carpet being pulled out from under you. So whenever you're doing any kind of planning, whether it's starting a business or whether it's continuing in the business you're in, you have to know the lay of the land. What's going on in your company that's going to be, are they going to do a merger? If a merger happens, so there's going to be layoffs, you know, they're going to be layoffs. They don't need
outsources.
Yeah. You know, they'll outsource. Okay. So if you're outsourced, then what's going to happen? You're, if a company outsources something and you were part of that outsourcing, now you may have to work at that as a contractor. If you're a contractor, you're not going to get benefits. You're not even going to get a raise for years or ever. So you really do have to plan. Okay, what, like you said, you engineer it backwards. You engineer it backwards. Here I am right now earning this much. What is the worst case scenario here, here, and here? You know, and how am I going to choose which is going to work best for my, because we don't work in a vacuum. You know, you have a family probably, right? You have children. What's going to happen to your children? I had two children I raised by myself with no help from either dad, no child support, and I struggle. So, you know, if you have, you're a single mom, and it's likely that there are a lot of single moms out there, you know, struggling, you have to plan so that you have, you know, the rent for 6 months. I mean, it's hard to do. I mean, it's hard to do. It's very difficult to do, especially if you're not working in a higher, you know, echelon kind of management business or whatever, but you have to plan for at least three outcomes, I would say. Three outcomes. What are the worst case scenarios, you know, and what are going to be my options here? What is the best one for me right now? And, you know, what can I do?
What are my resources? What is my side hustle?
Who are the people that you're connected to? You know, I got hired even at 63. Why? Because I had friends. I had friends who knew me and that worked with me. Right. And they, you know, pulled me in. But not everybody, we have ageism, you know, so women, that's why I'm saying right now is critical. If you're 40 years plus, you have to be saving like crazy in your 401k. You have to be saving money, because I tell you, it's just like the trophy wife. It's the corporate edition of the trophy wife. Once they see the younger women coming into the company, you're toast. They're not going to need you, no matter how much knowledge you have, no matter how much experience, no matter how much value you bring to the company, you're old. You're old, and that's all they see. So you're going to have to face the fact that that may happen. It may not, but you have to face, that's one of the scenarios, you know.
But not only that, you need to have a side hustle, Brains. Let me tell you, you got to have multiple revenue streams
at
all times. You know, and I know people that were, you know, that were working and selling Princess House Crystal. I know people that were selling the Mary Kay and working a corporate job. I know people that go to the swap meet and sell quilts. You've got to be able to have more than one revenue stream, because again, you know, you can be milking those udders and one of them titties be dry. It's as simple as that. You have to be able to forge ahead no matter what. There are going to be setbacks. Those setbacks are setting you up for the next come up. Yeah. But if you don't learn a lesson there and you sit idly by and just let, you know, let it just destroy you, because people... 1929, they was jumping out the window during the Depression. And newsflash, brains, let me tell you, it's coming again. I don't know why you don't think that we are headed for a financial catastrophe. They've given away trillions of dollars. They're in negotiation right now to raise the debt ceiling. The United States currency is backed by nothing, no silver, no gold. After number 45, we've made so many enemies around the world that people don't even want to hold our note. There's companies that don't even accept our passport. So you better get ready. You better look at it and try to hedge against it.
And if that, I mean, 2020 with the pandemic should have taught all of us that we have to all be doing side hustles and doing the things that are going to bring in money. I can't tell you how many women I knew. I was part of this networking group, and all of them were self-employed women. All of them, they were doing, you know, massage therapy, dance instruction, you know, all kinds of service kind of things. Mm-hmm. Well, when the pandemic came and everything closed down, these women were desperate. Didn't know how to pay the rent, you know, and all these other things. And I thought, you see, we can allow ourselves to be ready to go down that rabbit hole, you know, but we don't have to. But we have to have a chance, a plan. We have to have a plan. And not only one plan, but two plans. And like you said, the side hustle, what is it going to be? What is going to take the least amount of my time? It's going to be enjoyable. And I'm going to draw in some money and, you know, and use all the talents that I have. You know,
and so charge for your stuff, brains.
Absolutely.
Oh no, I want to provide content, or I want to be a value to the world. Well, baby, newsflash, you cannot pay from an empty coffer.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's again where I come back to put yourself first. Put yourself first in your money and in your life. They intertwine, and you have to be. You know, we're taught, money isn't everything. And, you know, I thought money may not be everything, but I tell you something, if I don't have my money, I'm not a happy person. I love having.
Well, I mean, you can't go into the grocery store and get groceries because you're cute and a smile.
Well, you know,
you can't pump at the gas station without money. You can't pay your utility bills. Money is necessary. And the currency is going to change as well. I don't believe that we're going to be using dollars. I'm looking into all of these different cryptocurrencies that mm-hmm. are coming out now, because it has to be an exchange. You know, everybody's getting a piece. You buy a piece of property and you're paying five additional people, the two real estate agents, the escrow company, the fees of the bank. And, you know, there you are sitting there with all of this debt. And you're behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. You purchase a car. You've got to pay the interest rate. There's a cost to doing business, brains.
Absolutely.
I don't care what it is. There is a cost associated. And if you, there's only two, and people don't work for free. The only people that work for free, in my opinion, are slaves and volunteers. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. And there's nothing wrong with volunteering. There's nothing wrong with giving of your time. But you cannot go and call yourself in business 2-3 years and have not generated any profit. You're not in business.
Right.
Looking at your numbers, looking at your bills, strategically looking at your taxes and paying your taxes. Because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times, Connie, they think when they have a little side hustle that going through PayPal and going through Venmo and Cash App, All they have to do is a point and a click. They know every single dime that has been transmitted through there, and it is reported to the IR pest. Yes. And so if you don't do it, okay, if you don't do it, they're just going to run your card, and then you're going to look up, and you're not going to have anything. Your house is going to have a lien on it, and you are really going to be, because I had that situation. I ain't going to lie to y'all. Yeah. It was years ago. I owed the IRS some money, and baby, I couldn't sleep at night. When the mail would come, I would be nervous. When I go to work, I was like, oh my God, I hope they don't garnish my check. When I got from up under that, I promised the good Lord, I said, you ain't never got to worry about me. I'll pay my taxes because I live in the greatest country in the world. And so I'm going to pay my fair share. But well, pay taxes, Brian's.
I think that happens to a lot of entrepreneurs. I know that when I was contracting as an HR, tech recruiter, I was getting paid boku bucks. I mean, I was really getting great money. But I didn't set aside the amount needed to pay the taxes at the end of the year. So I was sweating it. Oh my God. And I did the same thing. I had an epiphany. I had a tax epiphany.
Ooh-wee.
I set aside the money for my taxes and didn't have to worry. But that's what I'm talking about. Money has many different faces. Money is cash. Money is your paycheck. Money is account, savings account. Money is your 401k. Money is your investments.
It's your credit cards,
Money is your credit card. Money, is life insurance. Money has many, many faces. And we have to, it's just like getting to know a person that you wind up marrying. Say you marry somebody. And once you're married to them, you notice that they have different sides of their personality, right? This side and that side. And you have to get to know all of that. Because the totality of it is that being that you're involved with all the time. So this is money, the same thing with money. Very personal. You have to be touchy feeling. I mean, you can't say you love somebody if you don't communicate with them, if you don't talk with them, if you don't touch them, if you're not deeply involved in making a life plan with them. Those are the kinds of things that maybe I've had girlfriends who said, oh, that's so creepy. Money is just a thing. I said, no, it's
whatever.
money is flowing at you every single minute. You're dealing with money 24/7. Don't you get it? If you open your refrigerator, you're dealing with money. If you went to the grocery store, you're dealing with money. If I'm sitting on a chair, I bought these chairs. I'm dealing with money.
Right. But check this out. Let's talk about the person that has a lot of money. Okay. I know people with a lot of money. And they're smart with their money because they're frugal. Okay. That's like me. I've learned to really shop per wear. If I get a new outfit, I'm going to wear that sucker 10 or 12 times, just change the accessories because I want my cost per wear. People with a lot of money don't talk about their money. They don't have to flaunt. They don't have to posture. They don't have to pontificate. Because they know that they have it. But what's strange is when you have a lot of money, you're still not happy necessarily. You can buy anything that you want. So again, it's the relationship that you have with this inanimate object. How does it move you? How does it groove you? Are you philanthropic? Do you pay it forward? Because that's very, very important. Like I said, there's two types of people. There's slaveries and there's volunteers. But there's also philanthropists. There's a lot of people that have so much money. Look at the Gates Foundation. Yeah. They'll never spend this money. Look at who's the Amazon dude. You'll never spend that kind of money. So what are you doing? Are you influencing people? Are you manipulating people? Are you, educating? Are you sharing that knowledge? What are you actually doing with that money? What do you say to the person that's got a whole lot of money, Connie?
Well, I think that, again, it starts from the foundation of gratitude. What can you be grateful for? I mean, if you have a lot of money, it can't be for the present. You have to look at legacy. What is your legacy? What legacy do you want to, what footprint do you want to leave behind? And that legacy can start now. It doesn't have to wait till you're dead. Legacy. About now, about going into your community. Maybe you don't want to go out into the world, but you live in a community. You live in a community. There are hungry people in this community. There are homeless people in this community. There are people who have all kinds of needs in your community. So how are you stepping up? And you don't even have to tell anybody, you know, okay, write the check. There's the food banks. There's all kinds of places that have needs. When every time I go to the grocery store, I don't consider myself a philanthropist, but they always ask, would you like to donate, you know, for breakfast for kids on your thing? This is something you can do. You don't have to be a huge philanthropist, but for wealthy people, they really have to have a thought and desire about legacy. What is your legacy? I would ask, what is your legacy? What do you want to do? What do you want to be remembered for? What kind of love can you use this money for? How can you love your fellow humanity with this living, vibrant energy that's here and has flowed to you so generously? The sky has opened to you. So how?
Generational wealth. I mean, you know, there's folks that's got old money. And then you got the ones that got the young money. I had a situation the other couple weeks ago that brought me to tears. So I'm going to the sushi restaurant. And, you know, I know that I'm going to spend $75 on takeout. Uh-huh. And I see this sister down the street, just the prettiest face you've ever seen. No shoes, raggedy, pulling two carts with all her belongings there. So I go, and when I come back, I see her again. My spirit said, be a blessing. You just spent $75 on some raw fish and rice. Mm-hmm. Be a blessing. I pull in the driveway. I go on my purse. I give her $2.20. Give her $40. Do you know that she looked in it and she fell to her knees and she praised God? Not me. She praised God. And I cried all the way home. Number one, she didn't have to ask me. I saw a need.
Yes.
And I addressed that need. Number two, I wasted, and I'll say wasted, $75 on sushi when I could have came home and made me a sandwich and been just as happy, you know, and invested that money in something else. But it was a want. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand your wants from your needs and your desires. You have to educate your children on financial literacy. You don't have to, you know what? Yes, you do. Sit them down when you're paying the bills and let them see. When I did my taxes last year, my daughter was my assistant. I had her do all the, you know, the debits and the credits and, you know, line everything up. I had her go with me to the CPA to look at it because I have to teach her. Nobody else is going to teach her.
No.
And when she gets a man, I don't want her to be beholden to him. I want her to come evenly yoked. I want her to come in a place where if she has to leave, that she has the resources to leave and love him enough to let him go and not be beholden to that. Yeah. So there is a magic to this, and it's called mindset. And Connie, you have been a wealth of information. You are on fire. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I want you to come back. Please share with my brains how to get in contact with you, how they can work with you, because they got a lot to learn. A lot of people have a lot to learn.
Well, listen, I am working right now. Yes. This is going to come out the 17th of December. It is the Women's Wealth Planner, and it's called Romance Your Dough, because we have to fall in love with our money and show it the love so it can love us back.
I love that.
And, you know, there's a link right here on the chat showing where they can go to pre-order the book. It's going to be $30 after the 17th of December, but you can get it for $15, right, you know, if you pre-order it. So I invite all of you to do this and get in there. This is going to be a feminized way of looking at money. So this is the way of looking at your resetting and reframing and reinventing your money beliefs, putting on the big girl panties and having the guts to look at your numbers and your budget and a lot more. So I really encourage you, get signed up. I will be back again because I love being here.
I love you too. She's got an amazing video blog. I want you guys to go in, like, love, share, connect with Connie Sands. She is the business. Yeah, exactly. Money relationship. And it's, again, like she said, it's like dating. You got to touch it. You got to feel it. You got to sniff it. You got to tuck it away. You got to tuck it in. You got to do all those wonderful things because it's an energy. Don't be afraid of it. And look at your bills. When your bills come in the mail, I want you to all promise me, Brains, all of you with financial challenges right now, when your bills come in the mail, don't just stick them on there. Open them up. Face your fear. Yes. And do it anyway.
Yes.
And then take a strategic plan on how to address it. Learn how to negotiate your credit cards. They know that everybody now is in financial turmoil. Call your credit card company and say, hey, you know, can I get a better interest rate? I just did some things with my bank and, you know, renegotiated my interest rate on my mortgage. Mm-hmm. I only got, you know, so there's a lot of ways to save money. And that's what you want to be able to do. You want to save it and invest it. Learn how to invest. I've done penny stocks. It's not, it's a lot of fun, actually, to watch your money grow. You're going to make, you're going to make some snafus. You're going to lose some money. But so what? Don't risk more than you can afford. And loaning folks money. You ain't got no money to loan nobody. And this is what I do. Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody comes to me with a need and I feel that I can help them, but I don't extend myself no more than I can afford to lose and not get back and not hate you for the rest of your life. I'm not paying your rent, your car note, you know, your mortgage. These women that are emotionally, I was just talking to one of my upcoming guests. She's lonely. Don't be catfish. When these people come on the line with you talking about, oh, you're so beautiful and I love you and I'm going to come and see you, but I need $1,500. Then that is your warning sign that you are being catfished and you're being punked. Right. You are being pranked. So don't go for that either.
Well, you know, I think that one of the things that you said just, you know, resonated so much, because one of the things that women do is, you know, you have to ask yourself, is this a loan or is this a gift? Am I making a loan or a gift? Because a lot of times, you know, what starts off as a loan becomes a gift because they're never having an intention of paying you back on the on this, you know, online kind of scamming. You know, I get every day at least five or six, you know.
My email is flooded with them. Yeah, my email is flooded. But let me tell you something that my husband taught me a long time ago. We're out shopping and I'm going crazy, right? And I say, oh, baby, I say, can you loan me $100 till we get home? I said, because I want this and I want that. He was cool. He went in his pocket. He gave it to me. When I got home, he said, sweetheart, can I get that $100 back? I'm looking at him. He said, when you ask me for a loan, that's a transaction. Uh-huh. You know, he said, now, if you had to say, baby, will you buy this for me? Will you give that to me? It's all in your vernacular, Brains. Believe and trust. I'm very clear now what I want to do. If you loan someone a whole bunch of money, you get a promissory note because you can write that off your taxes. If you have to take them to court, like you said, Judge Judy, she will tell you in a minute. Watch some of these court shows, paying people's rent, paying their car note, signing your credit up for someone because you think that they're nice and all that. No, if you cannot afford, I had someone ask me one time, can I borrow your credit card because I want to secure my vacation? Baby, if you ain't got a credit card, you don't need to be vacationing because you can't afford it.
Exactly.
You know, so you need to pay attention to how other people get you tricked up in their financial situation, and you end up broke.
They ambush you. You know, have you ever had the ambush ask? You know, where they, you know, I had somebody that I knew a long time ago, and she just learned that I had sold a house, my house. And so, you know, she hadn't called me in a long time, calls me up, and, you know, we're chit-chatting. I thought, this is odd, you know. And then she said, can I borrow $500? And it ambushed me.
Caught you off guard. Yeah.
Caught me off guard. And I said, oh, okay. But then afterwards, thank God I was on the phone. And I said, afterwards, I thought, why? I'm not going to lend her money. I thought, I'm a single mom with a kid. You know, I can't be giving her money because she had a long history of never paying anybody back. No. And so I called and I said, you know, I can't do it, because you're allowed to change your mind if somebody asks. That's the other thing. You're allowed, if somebody asks you for money, unreasonable amounts of money, or frequent, you know, asks for money, you're allowed to say, you know, I changed my mind and I'm not going to be able to do that, you know, and I don't want to explain it, but I'm not in a position to do that. Yeah. You have to find your money moxie. You have to find your money moxie enough to say no when no is required. Because again, you got to put yourself first. What is that money flowing away from me going to do for me? Right. Not do anything for me.
Right. And again, we're not telling you not to be kind and not help people out, because I'm kind. I help people out. But I got boundaries. Okay. And I'm real clear and I will check you. Don't tell me that you're going to pay me back. And then I got to, you know, you ducking and dodging and can't find me, you know, cause I'll write it off for a loss, but you can't come this way again. You can't come this way again because of the disrespect. It's not about the dollar amount. Communicate with people. You owe some money, you know what, Connie, I just don't have it, baby. I can't pay you back. But this deafening silence, don't answer my phone calls, don't answer my texts, all that kind of stuff. It's all going to come back on you. It's all going to come back on you. Believe and trust. Somebody's going to get you for that, if not more so. But I'm so glad that I got you for all of this, because this has been fun. We could talk forever. You know, again, people always want to talk about the strategies and I'm going to get you to six figures and all that kind of stuff. There's somebody out there right now that needs to get the next $60 for their utility bill.
They absolutely,
and they listen to us on the edge. We're going to get you 60 times 60 times 60. That's right, because we're going to romance your dough.
We're going to romance the dough, go to Hot Money Relationship, order your book, and we're going to romance our dough and show it the love so it can love us back.
All right, and I love you. I'm so glad you're here with me. I can't wait for us to get together. We should probably start our own networking group.
We should. We're here in San Diego. I'd love to do that.
I do. All right. And I love you. Brains, you know, again, you can make a dollar out of 15 cents. You really can. Trust me. Just pay attention. We love you.